Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. I am so excited to bring on my guest today. His name is Barry Adams, and he is the author of The Father's Love Letter. If you haven't heard of it, you're going to hear about it today. It is something that so impacted my life. Just the Father impacted my heart and life through that and other things. And it's 20 years ago now that I first encountered the Father Heart of God, and the Father's Love Letter was one of the main things that really introduced me to the love of God. So I am going to bring Barry Adams on now. Hi, Barry. Hey, thanks Anna. So much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my joy. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Me too. Like I was just saying, it's 20 years ago this November that I first heard the Father's Love Letter, and then also a video that I believe you produced, The Journey Home to Love. And people may not know, but that love letter has gone around the world. So many people have seen it, downloaded it, heard it. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Father's Love Letter came to be?
Yes. Well, I was actually serving as a pastor at the time when I came into a deeper revelation of God's fathering heart for me. I have actually a newspaper background. Out of school, I went into the advertising side of things. And really, in that 19 years, I really developed a real passion for media. As far as being a Christian and being able to wanting to share it. And I had no idea how that would manifest years later, but I did become a pastor. I went to a men's retreat in North Bay, Ontario, where the theme of the retreat was knowing God as a father. And I met two new friends there, Jack Winter and James Jordan, who were both speaking at this retreat. And we, during this time, God just absolutely turned me right side up, basically, in my understanding of God as a father. I had a theological understanding, probably thought I could preach about it, but a heart revelation. It was just the experiential understanding of God as a father. I had no idea, but I was actually kind of projecting what my father experience was on God as a father. And so during this weekend, God just totally totally dismantled every misconception of what he was like as a father. And he really began to, by his Holy Spirit, just open up my heart to receive a deeper revelation of love. And at the end of the retreat, Jack Winter was looking for a guinea pig to pray for in front of all the guys that were there. It was a men's retreat, and just show how he prays for people. He asked me to be the guinea pig, and I came up not knowing what was going to happen. And he just asked me one question about a relationship with my earthly father, and a very painful memory came. And I just in a moment, I went from being a 36-year-old man to a brokenhearted 5-year-old little boy in my heart. Just because the memories triggered kind of like a domino of memories of how I had spent my entire life looking for love in the wrong places. And Jack asked me a question, and he just said, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? And I, at that moment, I didn't have to try. I was in my heart, because I was so connected to the wounding and the disappointment that I experienced all my life. And Jack said, just wrap your arms around me like you'd hug a father. And I did. And he wrapped his arms around me, and he just prayed a simple prayer. And he just said, Father, make my arms your arms for your son, because he's never known a father like you. And that was the beginning of a journey where I began to see the Bible in a new light. I always have loved scripture. I've always memorized scripture. But now, with this looking through the lens of love, that God was my father, from Genesis to Revelation, I was seeing all these scriptures that spoke of God's father heart. So in a nutshell, I was getting ready to share a message on the Father's love in my home church in January 1999. And so in preparation for that, I was overwhelmed with all these scriptures. And I just asked God one day in prayer, could you help me get some of these scriptures into one stream of thought? And it wasn't like an audible voice, but in my heart, I just felt like you said, if you put them in the right order and paraphrase them in the first person, they'll form a love letter. That's what I did, and played this sermon illustration. That's what it was meant for my Sunday morning, called Father's Love Letter. And I was just so amazed at the response. We had, you know, a few hundred people in our congregation, and there was just such a strong emotional response to this this series of, you know, 50 paraphrased Bible passages that really spoke of God's longing to be a father to us. And as a result of that, I thought, well, if it touched people in our church, maybe it might touch somebody on the internet. Now, understand, this is the early days of the internet.
Yeah.
So November 1999, we created a website, fatherslovelettercom, and just put up this one flash file of this video, didn't promote it, didn't do anything. And then it just kind of went viral. And by a few months later, we got a panic phone call from our internet service provider. He said, what are you guys doing on your website? And we said, nothing. We just have one flash video file. And they said, well, there's so many people watching that video, it's taken up the entire bandwidth of our website.
Wow.
And so none of the other websites could access their websites because of the bandwidth draw. And they gave us 24 hours to change the file size. And, you know, and since then, it's kind of gotten out of hand even more.
Yeah. So I think millions of people have probably seen it now. I don't know if you even know a number, but
no, yeah, millions. Yeah, we have. It's been when people ask me that, I say a lot. You know, I mean, to give you a bit of a scope on one of my friends, just like probably 3 years ago, said, Barry, have you seen this one Facebook page? They play the Father's Love Letter. And I said, no, I wasn't aware of it. And so when I went to the page, it had 30 million views. One Facebook page with, I think it was like the time, 1.9 million shares and 100,000 comments. And this one video, and you know, of course, it's so in that context, I have absolutely no idea. And of course, on our website, it's available in 126 language translations. And you know, we discover every once in a while new language translations that are not even on our website, where people have just been so touched by it that they've just translated it and started sharing it.
Well, it obviously touches hearts, because that's why people just want to see it and hear it over and over. And I know you have a couple of different narrations. The one I heard 20 years ago was, I don't know the name of the person, but it was such a fatherly voice. And it just felt like God speaking right to my heart when the first time I heard it.
Yes. And that the name of that gentleman is Roy Lamont. And Roy is just such a blessing to us. He contacted us. And before that, you know, we had it without a narration, and it was just music background and just the words on the screen. And one of my friends came up to me one day, and he had a hard time keeping up reading with the Father's Love. And he says, you know, you should really get a narration done of this. And I thought, well, that would be great. I don't know where to start. And then all of a sudden, this man named Roy Lamont, out of the blue, contacted us and said, you know, you really need a narration. I said, well, that would be great, but I don't know where to start. And he said, well, I just happened to be, it was a professional voice. And he said, yeah. I will volunteer my voice to this project. It was just such a blessing. And so that was, I mean, and it still is, that is the classic voice. Now, over the years, people have produced their own versions of the video, narrated it, and of course not in, you know, and of course there's a lot of different languages, but also in English. And we just had one this year from the UK with the Thy Kingdom Come project, where they had this really lovely grandfatherly British voice. And so yeah, it's been, like you said, I honestly believe that it's more about the Father's desire mm-hmm. to communicate his immeasurable love to each one of us. It's not about anything that I've done. I think God is the ultimate opportunist when he wants to be able to let people know he loves them and he's the father that they've looked for all their life. And so for me over the years, I've been more surprised than anybody else that it still seems to be shared in many places around the world still.
It really is. In fact, I have a friend who just visited a new church for the first time last week, and they, in the little visitor packet, there was a copy of the Father's love letter, the you know, printed copy of it. And it was new to her. And so when she told me about it, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I love the Father's love letter. So yes, for me, it was 20 years ago, November 2003, that I first went to Toronto to the Father Loves You conference. But prior to that, there was a soaking school. And one of the very first things that they did was to show the video, The Journey Home to Love. And that's still on your website. I saw it and like, I watched it recently. It's like, that has passed the test of time as far as it's still so relevant and so touching. And yeah. So, do you have, so people can find that on your website, and you have your website right there, fatherheart.tv.
Yes.
So people can find the Father's Love Letter and also the Journey Home to Love, along with a lot of other resources that you have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about, do you have any testimonies that you have heard that you'd like to share that of the Father's Love Letter touching someone's heart?
Oh yes. And you know, we've heard from thousands of people from around the world, and it just like every story. I remember in the early days, I really felt the Father say, do it for the one, because every person gets their own party when they come home. And so it's always been helpful to remember that and to keep grounded rather than being overwhelmed with so many stories. I remember one story from Kenya, where we work with an evangelist there named Wilfred. And he was walking down a street one day, and then he saw this distressed looking woman on the side of the road. And so he shared the Father's love letter. I believe it was in Swahili. And he said, he asked her, he said, would you please promise me that you'll read this? And so she promised him that she would read it. And then he went on his way. He gave her his card so she could contact him. And then afterwards, he heard the story. She was actually distraught, because her husband had just been diagnosed with AIDS, and she thought she would have had AIDS as well. And she was going to go to the riverbank and throw herself in. And then she gets to the riverbank, and she remembers that she promised this man on the road that she'd read this letter. And so before she was going to jump into the river, she stopped. She read the Father's love letter. God spoke to her and just absolutely transformed her on the riverbank. She went back to her doctor, and she didn't have AIDS. And then she went back and told Wilfred the story. And so it's like stories like that we've heard time and time again. And so, yeah, it's been amazing.
That is amazing. Wow. So, forgot what I was going to ask you next, but so sometimes, we think, well, I've been introduced to the Father and it's like a one-time thing, but you've now been, you know, it's been 25 years at least.
Yeah.
What has that been like for you just over the years?
Right. Well, it certainly, there was that first encounter that was like this aha moment where Jack Winter hugged me, and I really felt like there was a wave upon wave of liquid love began to go into the parts of, you know, the unloved areas in my heart, the wounded areas, the broken little boy. But that it wasn't just a one-off experience for me. I believe, you know, the Bible says in Lamentations that God's mercies are new every morning, and his compassions never fail. And so for me, you know, I can point to many, many moments in my life since then where God has come and he has brought just a deeper revelation of his love. I've experienced his comforting love. I've experienced his encouraging love, his supportive love. I've experienced his ferocious love, where when I say ferocious, I mean it's protective. And when I've felt like, overwhelmed. And I think, oftentimes, I would say, Anna, that the times that I've experienced his love almost the most, at least, in a way that I can measure it from an emotional encounter, are the times when I feel I've least deserved it. The reason why is because, I grew up in a home, my dad struggled with alcoholism, he struggled with anger. And so when I was a little boy, I was doing everything I could to try to make him happy, try to get his affirmation. And the way that I thought I would do that was through performance. And so in a sense, I had this understanding that performance was a quest for love. And so when the Father came to me, especially that first time with Jack Winter, he said to me in my heart, and again, not audibly, but he just said, "I don't love you because you do anything to deserve it. I love you because you breathe." And so over the years, I've had so many times where I have forgotten that, and I have kind of fallen back into performance or striving or comparing myself with other people or whatever. And then, you just run out of gas, or you hit a wall, or something happens, and, struggles in your own life, and, things, heartaches that come, and all those things. And God has always been so faithful during all those times to love me and just to remind me that he's the one that's been carrying me every step of the way. And so, my encouragement to anybody who's listening to this, that the revelation of the Father heart of God is not just that one-off event. It's wonderful. Celebrate that. But I would just encourage you to look for the love of the Father every day, because his mercies are new every morning.
Yeah. That is so good. Yes. And sometimes, like you were saying in the very beginning, was that there is a concept of God as Father, which is not the same, though, as really having your heart touched with his love and like that revelation in your heart. So what would you say to people that, like, I understand God is a father, kind of in general. I think that's kind of how I was before I was really introduced to his love. So what would you say to people is the difference there?
Well, I mean, I would be like you as well. I mean, I was serving as a pastor, having a theological understanding of God being a father. 2 Corinthians 6:18, Paul the Apostle's writing, and he is actually quoting a prophetic promise from God, where God says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters," declares the Lord Almighty. And so it's not that God is a father figure, or he's father of, like he's running the universe and he's preoccupied. But when we begin to understand at a heart level that he is a father to each one of us,
yes,
he fathers us in our good days. He fathers us in our bad days. He fathers us in our hopes and our dreams. And he fathers us in just the very core of who he wants us to be, free to be who he created us to be. And the more that we can realize that. And so what I would encourage people to do for sure is, if you feel like you have the theology right, but you don't necessarily have that experiential dynamic, I would just ask God to reveal himself as a father to you. How is he a father to you? And of course, we understand that and this isn't rocket science, but I believe everything that happens significantly in the kingdom comes through revelation. Mm-hmm. When we try to understand God through the framework of just an intellect or a theology, as long as that points us in the direction of encounter, it's good. But that in itself is not what God is after. He's after a living, experiential encounter with each and every one of us. And the amazing thing is Romans 8, 15 and 16, Paul writes, he says that we have not received a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear, but we've received the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. and heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus. So even saying Holy Spirit, you know, because the spirit of the sonship is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you just bring a deeper revelation that God is my Father?
Mm-hmm.
Not just a father, but he is my father. Would you show me? And would that Abba cry that is in the very core of our being, would that begin to resound? And when even in Romans 8, it says that the Holy Spirit bears witness, it's basically he's testifying on our behalf. He's giving corroborating evidence in a court of law saying you are a child of God. And so when we begin to look for that, in the realm of revelation and encounter and experience, rather than just through our theology, because I mean theology is wonderful. You know, we need that. It's an important framework. But you know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You diligently search the scriptures because you think you're in them, you'll find life. But these scriptures point to me, so that you can come to me and have life." And so it's in the same way that we come to Jesus, and Jesus came to bring us to the Father. And then when we understand that Jesus reveals the Father, and the Holy Spirit reveals the Father, then the Father reveals Jesus. It's just this beautiful entwined embrace of love that we're all caught up into.
Yeah, that's so awesome. What about for people who maybe come from a completely different, even theological perspective? Because, you know, sometimes in some circles, God seems very angry, very judgmental, just watching to see if you're going to mess up, that kind of thing. So how does someone sort of sift through that to come to really know God as a loving heavenly Father?
Well, I mean, one of the things that when we do schools and things, that one of the issues that we talk about is the idea that every person on planet Earth has had a father. Mm-hmm. Whether we've been in relationship with our father, whether we've known them or not, it doesn't change the fact that we've had a biological father and a biological mother in our lives, or at least we came from them. So that forms this understanding of what a father and mother is like. And one of the biggest struggles that we've encountered over the years is that people make these assumptions about who God is based on their relationship with their fathers, and not only fathers, but mothers as well, because really God love, he is father. That's what the scripture says, but he loves us with both a masculine love and a feminine love. You know, he says that the mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. So it's really, at the end of the day, it's parental love. So one of the struggles that many people have, and if you feel this way, you're not alone. This is a very common thing, is that, you know, there's a saying that we don't know what we don't know. And so when we try to understand what God is like as a father, well, how have we been fathered? Mm-hmm. And that's our experiential reality. And we, of course, we read the scriptures, but the challenge there is to have the Holy Spirit by revelation show us who the Father is. And so he's not judgmental, or he's not angry. And so I would, you know, if you've whatever kind of father type you've had, that the first thing I would do is, do I see God in the same way that I relate it to my earthly father? And not saying you do, but that's how I, you know, and I, again, I didn't even know I was doing this. And then the second thing that I would encourage people is just that Jesus is the Colossians 1 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3 says Jesus is the exact representation of his being. And Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if we struggle to know what the Father's like, all we have to do is look at the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything that Jesus did, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak the words I hear my Father speaking. Everything that he did was a manifestation of the Father. So if you think God is this angry judge, was Jesus an angry judge? No, he didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world.
Right.
You know, how did Jesus relate to sinners, right? The Bible says that he was the friend, he was called the friend of sinners. So then what's the Father like? Just like Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. And I know you mentioned that one thing for you is being childlike, like understanding that heart of being a son and heart of being childlike. Can you just kind of explain how that has helped you stay close to the Father?
Oh, absolutely. That's my sweet spot. That's how my wife and I live. You know, people ask us, how do you keep yourself, because Jude, in the book of Jude, says, keep yourself in the love of God. How do you remain there? How do you stay there? And for me, it's to remind myself that if God is my father, the only way that I can relate to him is as his son or as his child. And, and again, if we go back to Romans 8 and the Abba cry, the Abba is an Aramaic word that is the most simple way to say father. It would be like in our, you know, in the English language, saying papa or daddy. And so when we begin to understand that God is father, and, you know, when I was a little boy, and my parents did the best they could for me growing up, but I never had a chance to be a little boy because I was taking the responsibility of my parents' happiness on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so when I discovered that God promised to be a father to me, it was like I have this chance to get a fresh do-over in relationship with God, where God reparents me. And he's actually, you know, he's taking me, and I believe he takes all of us back to the origins of who he created us to be. And then, you know, things that were broken when we were little that he just wants to restore, and he wants to give back to things to us that were lost, and our abilities to dream impossible dreams. And when we look at children, and this is a biblical reality in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1-5, Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom is a little child. Mm-hmm. And then in Luke 18, verses 15 to 17, he talks about that the kingdom belongs to little children. And except we receive the kingdom like a little child would, we will never enter into it. So there's this high value in the kingdom for little kids and those with a childlike heart. And so what I discovered when Jack Winter asked me, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? It was like being connected to the little me, the little boy who always needed a father. It was like it was like a corridor in my soul where the love of the father could pour in and fill every area of wounding that I had in my life. And so for me to stay in touch with that little guy, because that little boy, the truth is that our lives are like growth rings in a tree. And if there's a one-year-old, there's a two-year-old, there's a 20-year-old, there's a 62-year-old in me, there's all these growth rings. And even though, you know, we are the summation of every life experience we've ever had. Mm-hmm. So when the father pours his love into the five-year-old little Barry, I don't have to go back in time to the five-year-old because that's a part of who I am still. And so then, and I remember I was at a school in England one time, and this pastor, it was his 40th birthday party. And then at night he went back to the place he was billeting. And then all of a sudden he was lying down, and all of a sudden he felt a wave of love. And he asked the father, what's that? He says, I'm loving the one-year-old in you right now. Is that okay? Then another wave of love came. He says, what's that? He goes, I'm loving the two-year-old in you. And when he came back the next morning to testify, he said, a wave of love of the father's love came for every one of the growth rings in his life.
Wow. That's
so amazing. For me, it's being in keeping in touch with that little boy that I'm dependent. I'm needy. I need my father to protect me. I need my father to tell me who I am. I need my father to strengthen me. And of course, when I talk about a childlike heart, I'm not talking about being childish, because that's totally different. Some of the most childish people I know are not children, because it's an immature attitude. But I'm talking about a childlike simplicity and a childlike dependence. And when we begin to understand that the kingdom maturity is not independence, kingdom maturity is actually complete dependence.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's where the childlike heart, you know, and I wrote a book called The Kingdom Belongs to Little Children a few years ago. And I wrote it based on observing the life of our 1-year-old granddaughter and all of the beautiful characteristics she had, and how God just absolutely loves that, and how we can have that restored to us. So, I hope that helps people understand that it's even though I'm still 62 right now on the outside, inside, I really believe that, you know, the Father is continuing to encourage me to be in touch with the little me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so beautiful. And I wonder if you would just pray for people that are listening, and then we're going to tell where you can find some of your resources and that kind of thing. But I feel like people may, you know, their hearts might be really getting stirred up, wanting more to know of God's love, his Father love. So would you mind just praying for people that are listening or watching?
Absolutely. And I just want to encourage before I pray that the Father wants you to know how much he loves you more than you want to experience that love.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage you just to relax and to be able to open your heart and just ask the Father to pour in his love. So Father, I just thank you now that you emptied the bank to send your son Jesus 2,000 years ago to be a manifestation of your goodness and your kindness and your faithfulness. And that Jesus became the way home for each and every one of us to experience your love. When Jesus rose from the dead, when he declared to his friends, he said, go tell my brothers, I'm returning to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. And Father, right now, I pray for every heart that's listening, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Sonship, would bear witness with each and every one, knowing that they are not orphans, they are not servants, they are not slaves, but they are legitimate heirs of God. Children born of God. The Bible says in John 1, verse 12 and 13, that we're not born of a husband's will, but we are born of God himself. And I just pray, Father, right now that you would just help your little ones. And I just feel the Father say, you're just little in my sight, even though you might have gray hair and you might be in your older years, that in God's eyes, you're still his precious little one. And Father, I just pray that you would just cause us to be able to believe and understand that you don't love us because we do anything to earn it or deserve it. You love us just because we breathe. And I just encourage you, even right now, as a prophetic act, that you would just take a deep breath and just breathe in the love of God that is around you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, in him we live and move and have our being, for we are his offspring. And Father, I just pray, Jesus, when he imparted the Holy Spirit to his disciples after he rose from the dead, the Bible says Jesus breathed on them and simply said, receive you the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I just pray, even in this moment, the simplicity of your love, that we would all just breathe. And as we just take a deep breath, that we would just quicken the awareness of your abiding presence, that you have always been Father. That is who you are. And Jesus came 2,000 years ago so that we could be your children. And you're not just a father figure to the universe, but you are each and every one of our personal, intimate fathers.
Yes.
And Father, I just ask now by the power of your Spirit that you would dismantle every misconception of what a father is. I pray, Father, that you would bring healing to parental wounding right now. Father, the brokenness of fathers rejecting and hurting their children and mothers who were just not able to love their children like they needed to be loved. Father, I pray right now that there would be a restoration of healthy, anointed parental love that comes from the Father of love, the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And so, Father, I just pray that there would be a rest that would come. We don't have anything to prove. We don't have any hoops we need to jump through in order to experience your love. I just pray that we would just yield, even in this moment, to the pursuit of love. For 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Father, would you just lead each and every one of us by the hand? Would you just teach us how we could actually return, just like Jesus said in Matthew 18, and become like little children again, so that we could experience the kingdom greatness that you talked about, where we can live on planet Earth knowing that Almighty God is our really, really our dad. Thank you, Jesus, for making this a reality. Thank you for dying on a cross, for raising from the dead so that your Father could be our Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for indwelling us and being the vessel in which the Father pours his love into our hearts every moment of every day. Father, we just pray that we would just quicken the awareness that your mercy is being new every morning, and that there would just, Father, would you restore to each and every one of us a childlike expectation to experience your love every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Oh, that was so good. Thank you, Lord. And I want to invite people that are listening or watching to reach out and let us know if, you know, if the Father has touched your heart. We'd love to hear, you know, your testimony. We'd love to hear feedback from everyone. And now, Barry, I want to say that people can find, I have on the screen, we'll have a page for this website, definedbygod.com/episode34, which is going to have all of your links, because you have fatherheart.tv and about, I think you said about 7 other different links. And also you have a weekly Father Heart webcast, I believe you said, with Mark Geed. I hope I said that right. So can you tell us about that, where people can find that if they want to find you every week?
Yes, we, Mark and I, we've been having these webcasts now for, we just entered our 14th year. It's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, that would be 5 hours later in the UK, 6 hours in a lot of Europe. So, yes, we broadcast on YouTube. We broadcast live on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/fatherheart.tv, where you can find us. And of course, if you go to fatherheart.tv, our website, we record all of the, I think we have up back to 2013, I think, the archives of all of our webcasts. So we have quite a few on there that you can find as well. So, and then we have a bunch of other websites too that have daily devotionals and all kinds of soaking things for different applications. All free.
That's amazing. And just so people know, you're in Canada and Mark is in the UK.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's so fun. Okay. So people can find you there. And then you can also find all the show notes and links on my website, definedbygod.com, episode 34. I encourage everybody to subscribe to our YouTube channel and podcast as well. And thank you, Barry, so much for coming on today. For me, the Father's love letter was so just life-changing. And I don't use that term lightly, although it can kind of sound like a cliche, but it really is life-changing because it helped to introduce me to the love of God as my Heavenly Father. So thank you for coming on today. Do you have any last things that you want to say?
Well, I want to say a big happy anniversary to you, Anna. 20 years. I mean, that is. I'm one of these guys, you know, and I think it's just how God has wired me. Markers are important to me. It's almost like when in the Old Testament, when they would set up a stone or something to remind them of an encounter. And 20 years, I just say, yay, God, for that. And I so appreciate everything that you shared about how the Father's Love Letter and the Journey Home to Love video played a role in that. And that, of course, that just makes my day. And I'm just thrilled to bits. And I thank you for everything that you're doing. And I've just been so happy to be on and just be able to share with you guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Thank you everybody for watching and listening, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.